talk yesterday about some aspects of Bris Milah, and we mentioned that the Pasuk says, Bayom Hashmini, Yimol Besar Alaso. And from here the Gemara learns that Milah has to be performed only Bayom, and it cannot be done Balayla. We learned as well that the Gemara says in Yuma Daf Chavches, that when performing a mitzvah of Milah Bayom, one should try to do it as early in the day as possible because of the aspect of Zrizim Magdim in the mitzvahs. So, one might ask themselves, shouldn't we do the Bris Milah first thing in the morning? Zrizim Magdim in the mitzvahs, why do we daven first? Why don't we first perform the Bris Milah? And the answer to that is quite simple. We have a Gemara in Maseches Zvachim where we're told a overarching principle with regard to many different mitzvahs that we perform, and that is Tadir V'she'eno Tadir, Tadir Kodim. Whenever you have something that comes along more frequently, so we perform that mitzvah before performing one that comes along less frequently. And therefore, when you have a toss-up between a Bris Milah and davening, which davening happens every day and a Bris Milah only happens a couple of times a month, so we assume that davening would take precedence because Tadir V'she'eno Tadir, Tadir Kodim. Now, the Prima Gadim has a offshoot of that question, and he writes, well, why is it that we wait till after the tefillah? The only time the rule of Tadir V'she'eno Tadir applies is when you have two equal mitzvahs of equal importance, only then do you say that we have to make a system of figuring out which one takes precedence. But here he says you have an uneven scale. Over here you have the mitzvah of Bris Milah, which is a mitzvah de Araisa, versus the mitzvah of Tefillah, which is only Midrabanan. So how can you say Tadir V'she'eno Tadir will tell you that you should first perform the mitzvah of Tefillah and only afterward the Bris Milah? The two mitzvahs that are in question with one another are not at all of equal value. Bris Milah is the Araisa and Tefillah is only Midrabanan. So how can you say that Bris Milah goes after Tefillah? That shouldn't really make any sense. So the Aruch HaShulchan addresses this question in some way, and he says, well, when you're trying to make this calculation and figure out whether Bris Milah should come first or davening should come first, he says, you don't just take the davening into equation. It's true. If you only had davening versus Milah, we would say, maybe you're right, that since davening is only midrabanan according to Rov HaRishonim, and Bris Milah is midaraisa, maybe Bris Milah would come first. However, writes the Aruch HaShulchan, you have the mitzvah of tzitzis, and the mitzvah of tefillin, and the mitzvah of kriya shma, and the mitzvah of tefillah, all four of them ganging up at once against the mitzvah of Bris Milah. There is no longer any question that the Bris Milah will have to wait until after davening. And that is the conclusion of the Aruch HaShulchan, that because of Tadir V'she'enu Tadir, Tadir Kodem, therefore we wait for the Bris Milah until after davening. So on a regular basis, this is certainly what we do. We daven, and only afterwards do we perform the Bris Milah. Are there any exceptions to the rule? This is a very good question. So the Shulchan Aruch, both in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, as well as in Hilchas Yom Kippur, in Simon Tav Kuf Pei Dalid, as well as in Tav Reish Chaf Aleph, writes that when we have a Bris Milah on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the rule is going to be a little bit different. Although normally we wait until after davening, writes the Shulchan Aruch, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're going to perform the Bris Milah smack in the middle of the davening. So what is that all about? So the Beis Yosef writes in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Dalid, two interpretations as to why on Rosh Hashanah we would have the Bris Milah performed in the middle of davening and not wait until after Musaf like we would normally do on a regular day. Reason number one, writes the Beis Yosef, is because we say a piyut, we say a tefillah in our davening on Rosh Hashanah. What is that tefillah? Zechar Bris Avraham va'akedas Yitzchak. We say, we want Hashem to remember the Bris Avraham and the Akedas Yitzchak. So writes the Beis Yosef, what are we referring to when we say Zechar Bris Avraham va'akedas Yitzchak? Bris Avraham refers to the Bris Milah. Akedas Yitzchak refers to the mitzvah of shofar. And therefore he writes, it would make sense that the same way in the piyut we have first a mention of the Bris Milah of Avraham Avinu and only afterward the tkiyah shofar, so too in practicality, when we're performing both of these mitzvahs, we should first have the Bris Milah on Rosh Hashanah and only afterward should we do the mitzvah of tkiyah shofar. That is the reason number one that is quoted in the Beis Yosef. Reason number two that he brings from the Rokeach is because he has an assumption based on a Mishnah on Pirkei Avos, where the Mishnah says, Elokim nitzav ba'adas kel. We assume that God is present whenever we have Talmidei Chachamim, whenever we have Torah being studied, so we assume that the presence of the Shechina is there. And therefore writes the Beis Yosef that we have a principle, we have an idea that Shechina is always b'makom Torah, that the Shechina is always going to be present whenever there is Torah present. And therefore he says that immediately after Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah, when we have the Shechina present because of the Torah, we may as well make sure to have the Bris Milah then, because the Bris Milah should be done in the presence of the Shechina. That is the answer that the Rokeach gives. which is a little bit of a strange answer, because if that's really the case, then whenever we have a bris milah on a Monday or Thursday, forgetting about Rosh Hashanah, we should do the very same. We should say that the Shechina is now present because we lain from the Sefer Torah, and once you lain from the Sefer Torah, the Shechina is here. Once the Shechina is here, you should have a bris milah. So why do we not do this on a regular Monday and Thursday? Why is that the justification solely on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a very good question. The Vilna Gaon in Siman Tav Reish Chaf Aleph in Hilchos Yom Kippur writes yet a third reason, and he says the reason why we would have a bris milah earlier on Yom Kippur and not wait until after Musaf is because we assume that the bris milah is considered to be tadir versus the Musaf. So when you have bris milah versus Shachris, Shachris is tadir. When you have bris milah versus Musaf, we assume bris milah is more tadir because Musaf comes around less frequently than a bris milah. That is the reason given by the Mishnah Berurah, and he quotes it in the name of the Vilna Gaon. And yet, a fourth reason that we have is a very simple reason from the Lavush, and he says, you're right, on a regular day of the year, we do a bris milah at the end of davening, but Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we know that the Chazanim take their time, and we know that davening is going to go till way after Chatzos, so he says, how can we wait, how can we delay the bris milah till after Chatzos, until we're finished singing and dancing and davening and doing everything we do? How does that make sense? We're not allowed to delay a bris milah until after Chatzos, even if you have the greatest of reasons. And therefore he says, it wouldn't make sense that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when davening is so long, that we postpone the bris milah until after Chatzos Hayom, and that is why the minhag developed, that we have the bris milah primarily on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, before the Tfilas HaMusafin, and we do not wait until after davening. So these are the basic reasons that are quoted. I saw a very surprising discussion regarding the timing for a bris milah on a regular Shabbos. Every so often we have the opportunity to have a bris milah on Shabbos, and the question is, when should the bris milah be done on Shabbos? So we know the practice all over the world is we have a bris milah on Shabbos the same time that we have it during the week, and that is after davening is over. You wait till everyone's finished davening, you bring in the child, and that's when you have the bris. Which is why I was very surprised to see the following discussion that one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yashiv had with his Rebbe, and he printed the following. He says, "Ulam shamati mimaron shlita." He says, "I spoke with Rabbi Yashiv, and he said, Shaharotza lasus habris lefnei tfilas hamusaf. Somebody who wants to make the bris milah on Shabbos before davening musaf, ein maznichin oso. We do not prevent that person from doing so. Sheyesh bazeh mishum's reason." He says, "After all, zrizim akdim in the mitzvahs. The earlier you perform a mitzvah, the better off you are." So that's reason number one. And number two, he says, after all, we have the reason of the Rokeach in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, where he says, you should have the bris milah samuch l'kriyas HaTorah, because the Shechina is assumed to be there at the time of the reading of the Sefer Torah, and therefore, once the Shechina is there, we may as well have a bris milah as well, and therefore, he says, why shouldn't you do the same thing on a Shabbos? Now, I don't know, why shouldn't you do the same thing on a Monday and Thursday? That's why I was very surprised by this discussion, but that is what he said. Then he writes, v'hinei b'beis medrash shel Rabbeinu. He says, anyone ever was there at the caravan shul of Rabbi Yashiv? Whatever, they put up this very little shtiebel right outside of his house. It was like, they used to bring him in a golf cart. It was a half a block away. And they had bris in there all the time, because everybody wanted Rabbi Yashiv to be the tzaddik. So he says, Shabbos morning was no different. And they would have people bring their children to be the, that Rabbi Yashiv should be the tzaddik. And he says, k'shehayu osim bris b'shabbos kodesh lefnei hamusaf. Every once in a while, people would make a bris in Rabbi Yashiv's little shtiebel there before Musaf, as Rabbi Yashiv said, and he said that there was a discussion as to whether or not they should put the Sefer Torah away first, or should they keep the Sefer Torah outside of the Aron Kodesh. He said that he wasn't so certain what Rabbi Yashiv's opinion was, and therefore he asked him, Ketzad linhog heishivli, and he answered me, Ki im osim bris milah lefnei tfilas hamusaf, if you're going to make the bris on Shabbos before davening Musaf, harei lechatchila roi lasos es habris acharei hachnasas ha-Sefer Torah leheichel. You should go and put the Sefer Torah away, then you should have the bris milah. Why? Said Rabbi Yashiv, because it's not respectful of the Sefer Torah that it's going to be sitting out and waiting until after the bris milah, waiting for you to do the job that you have to do, and therefore he suggests that you first put away the Sefer Torah, and only afterward do you have the bris milah. So then a whole other discussion broke out. When do you say the Kaddish? Right? You have to say Kaddish before Musaf. So do you say Kaddish before the bris milah, after the bris milah? So that was an interesting question, but the whole discussion in itself was very surprising to me, because that is really not the minhag that we find anywhere in the world. Most people know that on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the only time when you make a bris milah early, and the rest of the days of the year we make the bris milah after davening is over, because we follow the rules of tadir v'she'eno tadir, tadir kodem. The only other exception that we have, the only place where there's a discussion about maybe having a bris milah in the middle of davening, is with regard to Purim. So now we know that we're on the precipice of Rosh Chodesh Adar, and we're already within 30 days to Purim, so we have to already talk about Hilchos Purim. So this is a very important question. When should a Bris Milah be performed on Purim? That is an interesting question, and in order to fully appreciate it, let us just back up a little bit. In the Megillah, the Pasuk says, La Yehudim Hoysa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Yikar, and the Gemara Maseches Megillah Daf Tzayin says, this Pasuk is not meant to be understood literally, that the Jews were so excited, La Yehudim Hoysa Ora V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Yikar, obviously that is the case, but the Gemara says there's an added level of meaning to the Pasuk as well. Says the Gemara, what does it mean, La Yehudim Hoysa Ora? That means Zu Torah, that means the Jews now had the opportunity to learn Torah, because Haman had told them that they're not allowed to study, but now that they were relieved from the decree of Haman and Achashverosh, La Yehudim Aysa Ora, now they had the opportunity to learn Torah. V'simcha, what does that mean? Zu Yamtif, now they had the opportunity to celebrate Yamim Tovim, because Haman wouldn't allow them to do so. V'sason, what does it mean? Now the Jews had an opportunity to celebrate and to rejoice. Says the Gemara, that's a reference to the mitzvah of Bris Milah, because Haman wouldn't allow them to perform the mitzvah of Bris Milah, and now they had a right to do so. So that is what the Gemara tells us, that we learn from the Pasuk of La Yehudim Aysa'ora V'Simcha V'Sasam V'Ikar. This Fasema says a very fascinating question, and that is, if all the Pasuk means to teach us is, now that Haman's decree was taken away, they were able to perform the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and Yamtif, and Bris Milah, why doesn't the Pasuk just say it the way it is? La Yehudim Haysa Torah V'Yamtif Ubris Milo Tvilin. Why doesn't it just say, list the items explicitly? Why do we have to have a drush on the Gemara to teach us? And that's what it means. So the Sfasemis, in a classic Hasidisha answer, gives the interpretation, and he says that what it means to teach us is that in the times of the Jews, in the story of Achashverosh and Haman, they were so excited about their acceptance of the Torah after the decree of Haman was lifted. As the Gemara says, Hadur Kibluha Bimei Achashverosh, in the days of Achashverosh, we once again were mekabel the Torah ba'ava uvisimcha. We took upon ourselves once again the commitment to keep and to abide by all the laws of the Torah. Says the Sfasemes that this is what it means. La Yehudim Asa'ora, at that moment, the Jews of the generation understood that the greatest light, the greatest illumination in their lives is Torah. And the Jews of that generation understood that the greatest joy that they'll ever have in their lives, v'simcha v'sasam ikar, is all the mitzvahs of tefillin, and of mezuzah, and of bris milah, and of yamtif, and everything else. That was the joy. And therefore, when the Torah says here, when the Pasuk describes, la yehudim ha'isa'ara v'simcha v'sasam ikar, it means to teach us a double chiddush. Number one, that now they were able to perform the mitzvah. But number two, not only were they able to perform the mitzvah, but they understood that when performing the mitzvah, this is really the feeling that they were all supposed to have, and that is really the feeling that all of them did have. So it's a beautiful insight, but based on this, the Ramah comes to the following conclusion, and he says, if you look at Hilchos Purim, the Ramah quotes in the name of the Maharil, that one time in the days of the Maharil, there was a bris milah that fell out on Purim. Now, you have to understand, in their generation, they didn't have communities like we have today. They had small shtiblach, small shtetlach. You go to the Ramah shul in Krakow, it's not this massive shul like one would imagine. The Ramah had a tiny little shul. So I would imagine that the Maharil also had a very little shul. So the Maharil writes that one time a bris fell out on Purim, can you believe it? And he says, they were stuck, they didn't know what to do. When are we supposed to perform the bris? Do we do it like we would do on any other day, and push off the bris until after davening? Or, said the Maharil, that doesn't make sense. Maybe on Purim specifically, we should do it earlier before Mikra Megillah. Why? Said the Maharil, because the Pasuk says, La Yehudim Haisa'ara V'Simcha V'Sasam Ikar. In order to fully appreciate the Mikra Megillah and all the other mitzvahs that we're going to do on Purim, said the Maharil, you first have to be La Yehudim, you first have to be a Jew. And you cannot be considered a full-fledged Jew until you have a Bris Milah. So therefore he argued, it would make sense that you first have the Bris Milah, and only afterward do you go ahead and lay the Megillah on Purim. That was the suggestion that he gave. And this is where the Ramah gets this idea from. The Chayyadim said that in his community, this is what people did as well, that although on a regular day of the year we make the Bris Milah after davening is over, when it comes to a Bris Milah on Purim, we are supposed to have the Bris right in the middle of davening before Mikra Megillah, because La Yehudim Asa'ora V'Simcha V'Sasam Ikar. However, the Trumas HaDeshen took issue with this, and he did not like this idea at all. And Trumas HaDeshen argued that the same way that we do a Bris Milah at the end of davening, on any other day of the year, that is supposed to be the same on Purim as well. And there's no reason to change that. After all, said the Trumas HaDeshen, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Megillah that we don't push off, we don't delay Mikra Megillah for anything except for a Meis Mitzvah. So much so that the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Megillah that even Kohanim ba'avodasam, even when you have a Kohen who's about to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, who's about to be Makriv HaKorban, we tell the Kohanim to step down from the Avodah and to go hear the Megillah being read in the Shul, and only afterward to return to the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore writes the Chumash HaDeshen, are you going to say that the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is less chamor, is less important than the mitzvah of Bris Milah? Can that be? And he says, therefore, it leads him to argue that we should leave the Bris Milah on Purim at the same time that we would do it on any other day of the year. There is no reason to change the order. There's no reason to change when we do the Bris Milah. The same time that we do it during the year is the time that we should do it on Purim as well. And that is after davening is completed. And we should not think at all on the lines of what the Maharil said, quoted by the Ramah. This is also the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon did not at all like this idea of pushing up the Bris Milah to the middle of davening on Purim. He said as well, in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch, he says that everything should be the same on Purim. It should be uniform with the same way we do a Bris Milah during the rest of the days of the year. The Tashbetz does point out, though, that whenever one does do a Bris Milah on Purim, he says one should certainly consider giving the name Mordechai, because after all, whenever you're going to make the Bris, whether it's in the middle of davening or at the beginning of davening or before Mikra Megillah or after all, he says, it is Purim, and it's the day that we celebrate the great accomplishments of Mordechai HaTzadik, so he says he should consider at least giving the name Mordechai. That's provided that the family's happy with it, but otherwise we should assume that that's something that should be taken into consideration, because after all, Purim is a day where we celebrate the great miracles that took place with Ahasuerus and Haman, and Mordechai HaTzadik was certainly the hero of that great story.